Phenol and acetone markets are facing prolonged global tightness and prices remain at extremely high levels globally, although acetone may have come off the boil in Europe. I'm Jane Gibson, Senior Editor at ICIS covering phenol and acetone in Europe, and I'm joined by my colleagues Angeline So, Editor of the Asia Report, and Taryn Mazada, who is the US Editor. We are here to discuss the drivers behind the current market sentiment and near-term market outlooks. Looking at Europe, the market has been tight for Q1 and now into Q2. This has meant record high spot levels for acetone and phenol, which is quite strange to see at the same time because strong phenol demand usually means a glut of acetone and so lower acetone prices. The market's tight due to upstream refinery cuts, which means there's less feedstock being available, and globally cumene's tight. Also in Europe, we've got turnarounds in Q2. One is ongoing at Borealis at the moment, and the second at Versalis has been postponed from mid-May. It's going to start in mid-June, so preparations will be underway now for that. And then we've got strong demand for both phenol and acetone from a host of downstream sectors, from construction to automotive. In terms of costs, well, benzene costs for phenol have rocketed, with April benzene contracts up by 30% and now May up by 37%, and propylene has been firming for 6 months now. But a major factor in the market tightness has been a lack of imports for both phenol and acetone from other regions. So, Angeline, why have the Asian imports stopped heading to Europe, for acetone in particular, and what are the current trends in the market?
Hi, Jane. Asian sellers are always keen to sell to the markets with the highest margins, and recently the regional Asian market margins have been lower than those in Europe and the US. However, the buying interest from outside of Asia has been tapering off, and the reasons included completed procurement requirements and some easing of the tight supply. Previously, acetone deals and discussions were above 1300 FOB Asia, but the last deal heard, which was last week, was only at low 1200 FOB Asia. Nonetheless, these levels are still higher than Asian levels, and Asian sellers remain keen to sell to Europe and the US. For market trends, supply in Asia is expected to remain tight for the rest of the quarter. PTT phenol in Thailand was heard to have just restarted its line 1 and resumed almost full production at line 2. Japan's Mitsui Chemicals Chiba-based unit had also just resumed full production after a two-week turnaround. Although Saudi Arabia's Petro Rabigh was heard to have already resumed production, there had been a reduction in May arrivals. Taiwan Prosperity Chemical Corp, or TPCC, has issued a force majeure in June. Sakai-based Mitsui Chemicals is also targeting a turnaround in June to July for about 35 days. In China, Yanshan's petrochemical is due to restart on 17 May. Compatriot's Gaoqiao Petrochemicals is slated to shut for a month starting 6th of May. Jilin Petrochemicals was expected to shut from around May to July, and Cepsa China will be shut for about 10 to 15 days starting end of May. So overall, the supply is expected to remain very tight over the Asia region, and the sellers will still continue to focus on the markets which will provide the best margins, even if this is out of Asia.
Wow, that certainly is a lot of turnarounds coming up. So yes, I can see they'll be choosing wisely where to sell that material. So thanks, Angeline. Heidi and I talked the other day about the $1 million question in our recent podcast on phenol, acetone and BPA. So for phenol and acetone, how long do we think that this tightness is likely to last? So in Europe, people certainly think that May imports from Asia will be limited, but there is going to be some Russian material apparently headed for Central and Eastern Europe in the second half of May. But really, the future trend is unclear, with buyers and sellers scratching their heads regarding sort of second half May and June markets. Acetone could be impacted in terms of supply if the high benzene costs, which have pushed up the phenol, mean a reduction in demand for phenol and therefore reduce operating rates. Rates are already relatively low in Europe. A lot of people think they're around the sort of in the 70s at the moment. And as I said before, Borealis is still out, and then follows Versalis, which has been postponed until June. But with preparations now, and demand should stay strong. I mean, lots of people are still buying, buying, buying here in Europe, although some people think that maybe the lifting of lockdowns could switch consumer habits and impact the home improvement trend, which has boosted downstream chemical markets. So, Angeline, how do you see the future trend for Asia phenol and acetone?
Projections are optimistic for China because downstream consumption is expected to increase. Jinan Shenquan is scheduled to start its 150 KTA phenolic resins unit in late May to June. Anhui Hangmu is also scheduled to start up its two new 150 KTA phenolic resin units in the second quarter. However, for India and Southeast Asia, projections are less certain due to the COVID-19 resurgence, which had resulted in tighter movement control, notably in Indian capital New Delhi and Maharashtra, which also houses their financial capital Mumbai. This had led to labor shortages in the end-use factories and therefore reduced consumption for phenol and acetone.
Thanks, Angeline. That's interesting. We're just going to have to wait and see, aren't we? And I expect that the situation in India could certainly impact the global phenol and acetone markets for the months to come.
Yep.
So, Taryn, what can you tell us about the US market? Obviously, the winter storms have played a huge part in impacting global trade flows.
Thanks, Jane. Yeah, definitely the polar storm had a major impact, not just on phenol, but the entire value chain. So if you go all the way upstream, we had refineries being knocked out, which impacted the production of benzene and propylene. This in turn, of course, impacted cumene. So we suddenly saw a critical tightness in feedstock cumene, which was going to impact phenol and acetone. And then, of course, you had some phenol and acetone production itself that went down directly because of the polar storm. So basically, we had an unusual situation where both phenol and acetone were both really tight. Usually, it's been one or the other. This definitely affected trade flows because since there was so much pressure on supply, we saw less phenol moving out of the US to other destinations such as Europe and India. At the same time, there was more interest to import acetone. We saw more of an interest from Asian suppliers that were looking to send their material overseas as they could realize more attractive netbacks. All of this pressure on supply, of course, going into Q2, pushed up phenol adders up about 3 to 5 cents per pound. And so going into Q2, we've seen both phenol and acetone remain pretty tight, especially with some planned maintenance activity going on. Jane?
That's I can see there that you've had those increases in the adder for this quarter, haven't you? Just like we did in Europe for the phenol adder. So absolutely, that tightness is having an impact everywhere. And how do you see the next months developing for the US market? What do you think we will see in terms of market balances?
Yeah, I think looking at the rest of Q2 and going into Q3, we should see supply and demand fundamentals get better. So we'll have our recovery from the polar storm, and we're also seeing some maintenance activity wrapping up. We just had one producer that ended their turnaround and they've resumed operations. So in general, market players are expecting the supply situation to improve in May, and we should be back to some degree of normality by June or July. At the same time, we're looking at demand trends that are going to be pretty strong. So the auto sector, as you've seen on the ICIS dashboard, it's been facing issues because of a shortage in semiconductor chips. So that's likely to hurt production to some degree, but construction is going to be pretty strong, especially in the residential sector. The US has had a pretty strong housing market, so I could see demand into phenolic resins be pretty strong. We're seeing the other downstream sectors also recover, including nylon and polycarbonate. Epoxy is also pretty strong, so I could see demand trends stay rather positive for the rest of the year. A couple of things that we'll be watching, one of them is, of course, rising feedstock costs. So benzene has definitely surged in price. We saw May benzene contracts settle at a big increase, so that's going to be one area of concern. And then, of course, here on the U.S. Gulf Coast, we're about to go into hurricane season, so that's also something that we have to pay attention to see if we have any more disruptions from weather-related events. Jane?
Right, certainly, yes. We'll all be keeping an eye on the US weather as we do every hurricane season. And I agree with you in terms of the demand. It looks really strong here in Europe as well for the MMA and the nylon sector and the bisphenol A sector. So I think that we could definitely see a very strong first half of the year. And then the second half of the year, I guess it's a bit of anyone's guess really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think focusing briefly on acetone, we do expect the acetone situation to improve as well, not only as we have production that comes back online, but we're also anticipating a higher influx of imports from Asia. So acetone has been tight to short ever since 2020, but we're hoping that going into the remainder of Q2, into Q3, the acetone picture looks better, which would definitely be of relief to the downstream MMA players.
Absolutely. Well, thanks very much for your interesting insights there, Taryn and Angeline, and for joining me today on the podcast. What an interesting time to be covering these markets. Let's see how they develop for the rest of Q2 and for the rest of 2021. Thanks for listening to the ICIS Global Phenol and Acetone podcast, and please head to the ICIS dashboard for more information.